Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition or a special episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. Wife and I have been talking about, I've mentioned it before on our regular daily podcast, that we were going to look into doing some special episodes. So this is kind of our first attempt at it. And the purpose of the special episodes is going to be for my wife and I to discuss back and forth. That way we're covering kind of from a male and female perspective, as well as from a biblical worldview. We work very hard to have our outlook shaped by a biblical worldview, as fallen as we are, being humans and as faulty as we are. We want to look at things of the day, issues of the day, whether within the church, outside the church, and secular culture that we Christians are having to deal with. And we're hoping to help provide some guidance, some commiseration with you. We know it can be hard. We have to deal with it as well, where in some cases, even within your family, you can feel very isolated because of your faith. Because they think, yeah, I mean, we've even heard that our faith is repugnant.
That's such a great word, though.
Well, I know, but it's, you know, it's the one that was used. That our faith is repugnant, our belief system is repugnant, and we know that can feel kind of isolating, and it can feel kind of scary and whatever. And so we wanted, part of it was to let you know you're not alone. We're out here, and so that we can talk back and forth together. This particular episode, we may talk a little bit about that, but what we kind of wanted to do is just go ahead and introduce ourselves and get you to know ourselves. I know I've rambled a little bit on the weekly or on the daily podcasts some, but we thought this would be a better way for you to get to know Tara and I. So, Tara, you got anything you want to say first thing?
No.
Okay. That's not
okay. Everything that conducive. Wayne said, I agree with. How's that?
Okay. So, anyways, Tara.
Yeah.
So, well, Tara and I have just started. We're attending a new church. It was one we had attended years and years before. Vail Valley Baptist Church.
Arizona.
And we are about to this coming Sunday do the new member class. And then we'll be presumably voted in as members,
yeah,
barring anybody making a large objection. But Tara, do you want to talk about your new position at the church?
I am the church librarian.
Okay. So you want to tell them what's funny about that?
I can't read.
Why don't you clarify that?
I can't make it any clearer than that, but because I deal with the health issues that I do, brain fog, keeps me so distracted that I can't sit down and read a book from page to page. I mean, you know, from cover to cover like I used to, and go through them like I used to. And so now I do just about everything on Audible, or, you know, in some way, shape, or form. I listen to the Word through various, I don't know, an app. I think it's the New King James. I really like it because it's dramatized.
Yeah.
And I like that I can stop it and go back and study. And then there are times that the Lord is so merciful, and I can hit up a chapter in a book and read it all the way through. And I get kind of giddy with that. And then when the brain fog is in there, then I, you know, half the time I don't even know who I am. But I find it funny. that this is what I'm doing now, because you know how much I love books and how long I've been trying to build your library.
Right.
And
yeah, right. Yeah, the majority of my theological library has been built by my wife. I mean, I've bought some at Shepherd's Conference and at other places, but a lot of it has been built by my wife.
I did not realize until I started how many books that John MacArthur has written.
Exactly.
And I'm not yet to RC.
Yeah.
But there are RC Sproul books in there that I had not heard of. And I'm just sitting there going, you know, that's going to autofill as I'm inventorying, just like MacArthur did. But I feel like it's a privilege.
Yeah.
That I can go in there and that I can go through the different books and be able to recommend, you know, certain books. And right now, you know, based on the stuff that I've inventoried, I'm going to recommend John MacArthur.
Just so more of them are checked out.
Just so more of them are checked out. Because I'm not going to be reading them.
Right.
I'll be listening.
Right. Well, and I got to comment on the listening, what you've been listening to, and that dramatization is very, very interesting. But we listen to it as we're going to bed, which is fine until it comes to points where you've got God, like God on one of the mounts, and he's thundering down, and they dramatize that, and you know, you'll be just drifting off, and then all of a sudden that dramatization will pop up, and all of a sudden you're sitting, you're laying completely stiff in the bed, have been completely woken up. So otherwise, it's great.
I can't do Deuteronomy.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like a bad version of Richard Dreyfuss.
Right. Yeah, the voices.
And pretty honest, I think a lot of them are Michael York.
Oh, he might
be.
Remember
him?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, his voice is perfect for that. But if it's not him, that guy's perfect for that.
Right.
And so I've actually enjoyed it very much, and I've enjoyed the books that I've been able to listen to on Audible. You know, because girl loves some post-apocalyptic fiction.
Yeah. True.
True.
So do you wanna tell them about our interesting visitor during worship service yesterday?
Oh, the bird. I've been thinking about that one. I told you. We had a bird. I don't know what kind it was. And it was flying all over the sanctuary yesterday. And, you know, we're sitting there. We're doing our very, very best to listen to Pastor Jay and not watch the bird. But it flew over us a couple of times, and I was having to kind of bat away some feathers. And then when it landed, I think, was it a light that it landed on?
Yeah, I think it was one of the hanging light fixtures,
yeah,
that's up
when it
over.
Landed on it, a bunch of dust came out, and it was, you know, the light illuminated it. And I was thinking, if we were sitting in Bethel Church, people would have been going, look, it's a glory cloud. That's what's going on in here. That's a glory cloud. The Holy Spirit is here, because I refer to him as the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I was just sitting there thinking, those people would have freaked out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, no, that's not a glory cloud. That's not a cloud you want to be anywhere near, and you don't want to inhale it.
Right. Exactly.
And so that was very amusing. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah.
So why don't you tell the audience, the two or three that may listen or whatever, why don't you let them know how you came to a saving faith in Christ? I mean, please don't misunderstand us.
I like my story.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Don't misunderstand us. We are very, very clear on the fact that sharing your salvation story is not sharing the gospel. They are two totally different things. But at the same time, they can tell where you came from. So why don't you go ahead and tell the audience how you came to be saved?
Well, it was in 2005. That was the year that my mom and dad and my brother came out here to Arizona from Florida for Christmas. And we just had the absolute most wonderful time. And it was shortly, within a month, I guess, after they went back, that they found a mass in my mother's lung. And the doctors were saying that they were 95% sure that it was lung cancer. And I was terrified. You know, it was not something that I expected. And I know it wasn't something that she expected. She seemed to have a peace about it. I didn't. So my first instinct was to go read the Bible. And I opened up the Bible and I rifled through, I don't know how many pages. And I did the Bible thing that a lot of people do is they'll open it and just let it fall. And, you know, and whatever is there is the message God's trying to tell you. And, you know, and it lands on something like Habakkuk. Yeah, you know, or something, or Hosea. That's always a good one. But I couldn't understand what I was reading. I knew the basics because, you know, we'd been going to church forever and a day by then.
Yeah.
And we had been out of church. You hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The train.
But we hadn't gone to church in probably 5 or 6 years. Maybe yep. 5 years. So when reading the Bible didn't work, I jumped on the internet and I started looking around, and it was back during the days of AOL, and I hit a headline that had Kirk Cameron on it, and I was just thinking to myself, oh, he's cute, because, you know, he was really cute in the 80s. So I clicked on him, and he was introducing a guy named Ray Comfort, and he suggested watching these videos, Hell's Best Kept Secret and True and False Conversion. And I think it was True and False Conversion that really opened my eyes, because all that time I thought I was a Christian and I wasn't, you know. And I'm just like a lot of people, I should say I was like a lot of people are today, where we think we're Christian, but we're not. We don't go to church, you know. We didn't go to church. We had horrible potty mouths, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and we compared ourselves to other people.
To other people, not God.
Instead of to this holy God. And it was just that feeling of dread. It was just this absolute feeling of dread while Ray Comfort was sharing those. And then all of a sudden, he shared the gospel, and I understood for the first time in my life why Jesus came. And, you know, I found myself on my knees and I was repenting for the first time. All those times before, when we had gone down to the altar, you know, at one of our churches yeah. in Georgia, I'd gone down there I don't know how many times and asked Jesus into my heart, and that just flat didn't work. But this time there was repentance, and there was just that 180 change of direction. And the only thing that I could think of at the time was, I need to tell Wayne that we had it wrong. We had it wrong the whole time, because we're going to be judged by that standard, that moral standard that God has put out there in the Ten Commandments. Those are His standards, and we're supposed to be perfect. If we think we're going to get into heaven, we have to be perfect. But Paul says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that is one of the things that has struck me and stayed with me all these years, is I needed someone else's righteousness. And, you know, when they talk about the light of the gospel, you know, you find out that you're going to go to hell, and then you hear about Jesus and what He did for you, that's truly a light, because that dread and that fear went away. And then for the first time while reading the Bible, I understood it. And then I started understanding things like Habakkuk and Hosea.
Yeah.
You know, so I know it bothered you a lot in those ensuing months.
Yeah.
Don't so, you think?
Yeah, so I guess I'll pick up with my story, because mine follows behind Tara's. all this was occurring between 12 and 24 months after Tara and I had gone, somewhere in there, when Tara and I had gone to my 20th high school reunion. And during that reunion, I had gone off, I was talking to somebody or whatever, and Tara at the time smoked, And so she went out with the smokers and was said, am I remembering that right? You went out with the smokers that were sitting outside, and that's where you ran into some of them. And they started telling Tara about what a great guy I was.
Well, that was in 2005.
No, that's what I'm saying.
My conversion was obviously...
was in 06. That's why I'm saying
12. All those folks talking
about
you.
So 12 to 24 months after that. But what had happened there is they're talking about, and they're telling Tara what a nice guy I was, that I was the nice guy. I was the guy you could always dip in, all these kind of things. And I didn't know they thought that. But we come home from that, and Tara tells me that these people have said this, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And it did drive pride a good bit. But at the same time, I didn't realize these people thought this way. But it very much, as Tara got saved, and Tara kept bringing up Jesus, she kept talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus. And let me be clear, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church. I was in the church all the time. I mean, my parents were in the choir. They did all kinds of stuff. We were always at the church. Didn't matter. We were Sunday school, youth group, you name it. We were always there. But let me be clear. I thought I was a Christian, just like Tara did. But let's be clear. The church we were in, the pastors, some of them very, very sweet men. And they talk about sin in the abstract, and they talk about this Savior guy. And I mean, they were clear about who the Savior was, but not about why we needed them. Because then you'd go on with these messages about five steps to being a better Christian and five steps to being a nicer person and five, you know, these kind of...
A form of pragmatism.
Yeah, it was...
About being a good person.
Well, it was basically, they were spiritual rah-rah sessions. I mean, they were not... and I didn't really realize it at the time. I didn't know. I didn't get that. And so I was doing exactly what Tara was talking about. I was comparing myself to other people, not in specific, but to society as a whole, and going, well, I'm not that bad. So I thought, you know, I'm a Christian. I didn't realize it at the time. I have the wording now. Didn't have the wording then, but I was counting on my own righteousness to get me into heaven. I thought I was righteous enough, even though the Bible's pretty clear about that. And again, I was in church all the time. I read the Bible a lot through those days, but obviously was not getting it, and realized that later. So we get to where Tara is bringing this up all the time. And eventually we hit a point, we're driving in the car, And she's still talking about it. And finally I turned to her and I go, and of course I'm sure that freaked her out because she hates it when I take my eyes off the road. And I turned to her and I said, can we talk about anything else?
I said, no.
Yeah. And she said, no.
Nope. Can't do it.
And so we got a few weeks down the road, 2, 3, 4. I forget how many exactly it was down the road.
It was a few months
before. And Tara came to me and she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, something along the lines of, I'll stop talking about it if you'll sit down and watch these two videos. And they were the two she mentioned, Hell's Best Kept Secrets and True and False Conversions. And I said, okay. And so, of course, this on the internet, she brings up the videos and she plays the two videos. And it was like I'd been punched in the gut. It truly put me on my knees. It finally made the connection between what that sin really was and how that sin applied to me. It brought into stark relief for me what I didn't have the words for at the time because I was just saved, but what I came to later understand the total depravity, that total saturation of depravity that was me. And that was all I was ever going to be outside of the grace of God. And that only through the work, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's why there was a Savior. That's why I needed that Savior. And that through that, that was the only way that I could truly be saved. That there was never any way.
Yeah. He was the only one that could keep the law.
Right, exactly. And that was the thing. That was the realization that while I'd been comparing myself to society, who I needed to compare myself to was a holy God, which I could never reach. And that was that those videos, that change in reality that they brought, was just what put me on my knees and brought about that work of that. That's what the Holy Spirit used to bring about, that work of regeneration within my heart and bring me to a point of repentance. I mean, like she said, it was a 180 degree turn for me. like she mentioned, we were potty mouth. You gotta understand, I was a Navy sailor, out on submarines. Believe me, the language was colorful at best and downright filthy at the worst. And that was just the norm. But it came home with me. I'd bring it home, intentionally or not.
Even with that word.
And, you know, and here we were, you know, here we were 10 years out from that, a little over 10 years out from that. And I was still struggling with that, even though I didn't want to talk like that. But it was, you know, that was the thing, that 180 degree turn and that realization that this is not who I want to be. This is not, it wasn't even just, this is who, not who I want to be. It was, this is not who I'm called to be. This is not who God put me here to be.
Right.
And so that's my story.
I know that was such a drastic change, the boys.
Yeah.
Tend to bring that up because they can look back at that year and say that there was such an obvious difference in mom and dad, because you know what? Trey, I think, was a teenager by then. And, you know, Christian, I think they were in middle school, maybe.
It's something like that.
And, you know, that's a huge thing. And, you know, even now we still share the gospel with our kids. And, you know, that hasn't stopped. But it's hard to be quiet about that, especially when you know the gift that you've been given and you see people trying so hard to be good. Like, we did try to be good. And when we see people now that are trying so hard, you just, there are some situations you can't get in there and say anything. And then there are others that God is so merciful and just keeps bringing them to the door, bringing them into our lives so that we can, you know, pour it out on them and hope that what does Spurgeon say? Because we can't look up under the shirt tails.
Yeah, we can't look up under the shirt tails and see the stamp that says saved or unsaved.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's how we got where we are. It's been a ride, I have to say.
Yeah.
From the beginning. But, you know, a lot of people see you as the guy who reads the Bible in the mornings, or the evenings now, morning and evening, because Spurgeon's added to that, along with right. What, Valley of Vision. McShane is the other one?
Yeah, well, McShane is the Bible reading plan.
That's the Bible reading plan.
That we're using, yeah.
Yeah, what happens when you're recording downstairs and I come downstairs in the morning?
Oh, let's see. If it's close to mealtime, actually sometimes even if it's not close to dog mealtime, I get bombarded with the dogs commencing into their barking fits. Tucker starts going after Antigone, Tiggy, playing, but he's bark, 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 and got to chew at her, and she just has to bark and fight back.
That's too much noise.
But if it's near mealtime, it's Emma barking at you going, feed me, feed me, feed me, because we love her. She's our 14-plus-year-old schnauzer, but we tease that she is our loving despot. She is our murderous despot.
She's murderous, there's no doubt. I've noticed that as she's gotten older. Ever since we took, you know, had her get her all of her teeth removed, she has been systematically trying to kill me every day.
Right. But then when Tara comes down, what Tara does the most is she comes down and sticks her earphones in so she doesn't have to hear me recording. So that maybe that says something about what I'm doing. You never know. You know,
it's like,
again,
okay, he's a good teacher. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm not doing this, and I know I've said it before on the daily podcast, but I'm not doing this to get kudos or accolades or to get popularity or anything like that. Shoot, I've never been popular a day in my life, let's be real. But it had nothing to do with that. It's all about...
You were popular that one Friday.
Yeah.
It was about 17 years ago.
Probably. It's all about the glory of God. I mean, that's the whole purpose of any of this, even these special episodes. I mean, that's why Tara and I wanted to do this, is to be able to approach these kind of things as we start bringing up topics as we move week to week, maybe every other week. We hadn't decided yet on a frequency that we're going to do these, but... you know, that's the thing. We want to glorify God. I mean, that's the thing. I brought it up in yesterday's, it's going to be this evening's section. Obviously, I've already recorded it and it's been published. The Westminster Shorter Catechism is very clear. Its very first question is, what is the chief end of man? And it's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Mm-hmm. And that's Tara and I's purpose here is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so that's our prayer, that during this time sharing with you and trying to discuss from a biblical viewpoint what we're seeing out there and how we as Christians respond to it, that's our hope, that we help give you guidance. We help give you guidance from a biblical point of view, from the Bible itself.
Well, I think another good thing that we should be encouraging is for people to read their Bibles.
Absolutely.
Pastor Jay told us yesterday, 8% of Christians read their Bibles. What are you going to get from, what are the 92% doing?
Exactly.
I mean, even with people like me who have these little struggles here and there, I still have to have that word. You can preach the gospel to me every single day, straight out of the word, and I will just sit there and be grateful and be worshiping. And, you know, people talk today about God talking to them. You know, we have a lot of false teachers who claim that He does that. But I think Justin Peters says it best. If you want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible. And if you want to hear Him speak to you audibly, read the Bible out loud.
Yep.
And so technically you're reading the Bible out loud every week and every day, but you know, because this is what you do every day, and I'm glad that you're doing it. I'm glad that you're able to serve this way. But at the same point, I want to know where all your minions went.
All my minions are upstairs in my office now. I love the minions. I think I've mentioned it in my daily podcast before, but it's probably been over a month since I mentioned them. Once Despicable Me came out and I saw it, I just love the minions. And at this point, I think my family has purchased for me all the movies, except this last one, Rise of Gru. I don't have that one yet, though I've seen it.
But it was funny going to the theater, 250-something-year-olds.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Rise of Gru without any kids in town.
Yeah, we're sitting there with a bunch of kids. We weren't the only older people sitting there. And in a couple of cases of people around us, they were not there with their kids or grandkids. They were like we were. And my wife has also gone around and bought... little minion action figures and whatever like that. I keep them in my office and they're fun. And I have some stuffed ones. Actually, my grandson, I let him play with one of them.
He's the only one that can play with it.
Right. Well, and then my younger son and his girlfriend got me a cup. And I've mentioned this before, that on the cup is a picture of me as a minion. So I call it the Wayne-ian. But they also did a larger
painting.
It's like 8x10, I guess, picture. That's that as well. It's a painting that's like that as well. So I love my minions. And the reason I do is when they started coming around, they didn't have any political overtones. They didn't have any racial overtones. They didn't have anything else. They were just funny. They reminded me of the Keystone Cops, of the Three Stooges, of stuff like that. It was just silly and funny. And so I could watch those, and I didn't have to have anybody preaching at me about the environment or about my politics or whatever else. I could just enjoy it. And so that's why I enjoy them. And sometimes when stuff's really getting at me, I flip them on again because I can sit there and chuckle at them, and I don't have to look at the rest of it. But I was actually going to ask you something, get your input on something. So you brought up the that statistic that Jay put out, the 8%, only 8% of Christians. This is not of society. This is Christians that read their Bible. Only 8%. And from what I've seen, what I can tell, and again, I totally possible that I'm missing something, but from what I can tell, there are two basic reasons that they're not. Other than medical issues, like in your case, that would be a third. So, but there's two basic ones that I've seen of people that are perfectly capable of sitting down and reading it. And it's twofold. The first one is that families, and maybe this is excuse or not, but with the way inflation has been skyrocketing and with everything going on there, and people losing jobs and whatever else, we got people having to pick up second and third jobs, spouses having to come out of the home to pick up jobs for people to be able to keep their roofs over their head, to keep food on their plate and stuff like that. Therefore, they're losing the time to be able to do so. Now, some may be just that. In my case, where as much as I do read, I don't feel like it's enough. I know one of my issues is poor time management. I spend my time doing other things. I know in one of my issues and something I have to deal with is streaming. I tend to watch a lot of streaming stuff, and I can turn around and I can let that take the place of spending time in the Word of God, spending time, even if not just reading, maybe studying some specific passages or whatever. And I'm seeing that as being the second one. It's either people being so overwhelmed with what they're having to pick up that they just can't find the time, and or we're not managing our time well. It doesn't just have to be streaming. It's spending the time in hobbies, other stuff like that. And it's not, and I don't bring that up. I haven't brought it up, and I've been clear when I brought it up on the daily program, and I want to be clear here. This is not saying don't stream stuff. This is not saying don't have hobbies. But if you're streaming 3 and 4 hours of stuff a day, but you're spending 30 minutes or less in the Bible, you're not properly managing your time. I'm not properly managing my time if that's what's happening. So do you see anything else? Do you got any other ideas as to what might be holding folks back that I'm missing? Because I feel like I'm missing maybe other reasons that people might not be spending, other than the fact that they just go, I don't feel like I have to. Or
if you ever reach the point where you feel like you don't have to read the Bible, that's when you need to be reading the Bible.
Well, right. I was thinking of somebody that made the comment to us, it was probably a couple months ago, that they had commented that they had read through it twice and they just didn't understand why people read through it over and over and over again.
And then you always get assaulted with Old Testament law, and they don't understand the traditional and ceremonial and the moral law, and excuse me. I don't know if there's any more. I mean, I'm sure there's myriad reasons as to why people don't read their Bibles every day, and you don't want to sit there and go after somebody who doesn't read their Bible every day.
No, you want to encourage them, maybe reads it every other day
or whatever. But one of the things that a lot of us can fall into is just reading the Bible. That becomes an issue in and of itself, and you want to stop and focus and study the Bible.
Meditate on it.
You're chewing on what you've learned. That's one of the reasons why I really like precepts.
Right.
And when I first started doing it, I got dropped in the deep end and did the intensive study. And I found that the way that is laid out and how you do it, it lets minds like mine go to the different places, because it's going to go to different places anyway, but this is channeling it, so to speak.
Right.
So that if I want to learn, you know, this one says go and look up what the Hebrew word of whatever this is, or go and look up the Greek word. Now I'm going to do word study. And I'm telling you, there are things like that that just open your eyes and you find yourself wanting more and more. And I see a lot of issues with women not reading their Bible, and they are so susceptible to whatever calls itself Christian that comes up the pike, which is why you see, you know, quote, Bible teachers like Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer and you know, that whole lot, that they're susceptible to that, and they're susceptible to the heresies that come out of their mouths.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's right to attend a Bible study. Like we've been doing the Sunday night one at church.
Right.
That can be difficult for me.
Yes.
You know, going out in the dark. It's not an anxiety thing. it's a physical thing. But also I really think that as far as women, they need to learn to love the Word.
Yeah.
And they need to learn to love the Word properly. And sometimes that they may feel like that's a little too much, especially if they've got little ones around. I remember those days very well. I'm currently reliving them 3 days a week.
Yeah,
with our grandson. Taking care of our first grandson. And he's not walking yet, but he's almost there. And I'm like, this house can't hold this child. We're going to have to do something else.
Yeah.
But I really feel like they need to look at different options. And I like the idea of women getting together and discussing what they've read. Yeah. You know, because when you're talking about scripture, when you're talking about God, you're a theologian.
Yes.
You know, as you talk back and forth to other people, you're a theologian.
Yeah. Is it MacArthur or Sproul? I think it's Sproul that said everyone's did the book, everyone's a theologian. I think it's Sproul. It's one or the other. But
do not have that inventoried in the library.
Yeah, but but again, the statement is clear that everyone is a theologian.
And every don't be Christian, intimidated by that.
Yeah, every Christian is supposed to be a theologian, yeah, whether you like it or not.
And it is a time management thing. I've fallen behind on occasion. But, you know, if you like your hobbies and they're not doing things like blowing a trumpet. Yes, I'm looking at you. You know, listen to a sermon. Listen to, you know, listen to a podcast. You know, listen to your podcast because the Word is right there in front of you. You know, on the way to work, on the way home from work. You know, when you're doing dishes. Or you know, doing anything. I mean, like a hobby, because you know I like to paint.
Yeah.
You can listen to a sermon there. You can listen to a podcast there. You can have the Word coming at you at all times. You just have to choose what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, is it, should you be listening to music that doesn't glorify God? And,
yeah,
you know, and, but that's your thing as you go to work, you know, change it up.
Yeah.
And get together with other believers to encourage you to read your Bible, who want to read the Bible with you. I think that's very important. And I think it's really important for women to encourage each other, to especially if they have kids.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, and I agree with you. And it's important for men as well. I know we've started, well, we had a discussion. We haven't had the first one where we're really talking about the book yet. But we're doing, for the men's group for Vail Valley Baptist Church, we're doing The Heart of the Bible. It's by John MacArthur. So we're doing a book story or a book study. And it's basically what MacArthur did is it's, I think it's, how many of them is it? I'm trying to think how many, because there's multiple, but it's specific quotes throughout the Bible that he brings out and discusses. And there's like three or four per chapter. And there's something like 12, 13 chapters
in the book.
Isn't
that something that you guys can, you know, that if two people were to get that book, that They could have one or two questions during the week, and they can talk about it on the phone, on text, or get together over a cup of coffee.
Well, and that's what we're actually doing now. Yeah. We've got it. We've set up an electronic channel so we can all talk back and forth to each other through the week as we read through our chapters and discuss. But the fact is, you know, and people get busy, but considering how many people are at the church, we've got a very small number starting this group. The fact is, men, you need to be in Bible study. Don't think it's just a woman's thing. Don't think it's just a kid's thing. You need to be in Bible study.
Women need to understand that not only do they need to be in Bible study, they don't always have to listen to a female Bible teacher.
No, true. I mean, and that's the thing, like the adult Bible study, we intersperse it with discussing other things, but we're doing a specific series with H.B. Charles Jr. Mm-hmm. About the benedictions in the Bible, and he's expositing those benedictions, and it's wonderful. What was it this Sunday? He's it was number it. Six.
Yeah, it's Ligonier.
Yeah, it's out of Ligonier.
And it's out there. And, you know, just a bit, because this is the first time that I was able to watch, you know, one of the videos. Very profound.
Yeah.
Extremely profound. And it sparked a lot of good conversation and a lot of good thought and a desire to look at something more.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. I mean, stuff like that drives you right into the Word, and that's what you want.
Yep.
And, you know, and if you have something like I do, listen, you know, those of us that we have our days where we can't sit and read a book, we need to listen.
Yep.
You know, and I was just going to say, we're probably going to be needing to wrap this up soon. Hey, come on, you're making dead air.
Go ahead.
And your dog's looking at me funny.
I was sending you a message so you could see without me saying it
over the podcast. This is how we normally talk to each other. Well, it is true. Come on.
No, we're about 40 minutes into this. So, you know, we didn't want to necessarily run this really, really long. But we did. We wanted to introduce ourselves to you and where we're coming from and what we're hoping to accomplish, what we're hoping to provide for you. We're definitely, you know, praying that this time that we spend, again, would help to lift you up, to equip you, to edify you.
And this is new to us.
Yeah,
to
very
do something
new.
Like this. I mean, I've been watching him do his podcast, and he bought me a microphone, which is funny considering how much we talk to each other. And now we're going to record ourselves talking to each other. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's honestly where the title comes from, because Tara and I talk to each other. We talk to each other about all kinds of things, which some married couples do.
And sometimes you talk to me first thing in the morning.
When I'm not supposed to.
It's at least 30 minutes, but you violate it.
But I violate it almost every day. But, you know, that's the thing. We actually do sit and talk to each other about theology. We spend time mm-hmm. discussing theology with each other. And that's kind of been the point. That's kind of the point of doing this, is to do that kind of theology, provide that kind of theology, and provide that back and forth discussion. You know, I guess I could sit here and try to do these long episodes talking about this, but I've when Tara and I have these conversations, she drives me to think deeper about things, and hopefully I drive her to think deeper about things.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, I drive her crazy.
Well, I do drive you crazy, but that it is what it is.
Sometimes it drives me in there for a retort.
You knew what you were getting when you married me.
No, I didn't. I thought I was marrying a cowboy.
Well, that wasn't happening. Let's be real.
That's not at all
It was
happened.
Florida. There aren't any cowboys there. They're only out in the West.
Oh, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue, Mr. No Accent.
Yeah, I moved away from Alabama before I got one of them. Wow. And I'm okay with that.
Oh, you're okay with that. I think this is good. I mean, we're learning about this. We're used to talking to each other when no one's around.
Yeah.
And, you know, openly sharing it with others. is very different for the two of us.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm sure most people have figured out that you talk more than I do.
Well, actually, well, and I've actually, I think I've mentioned it on the daily podcast that around people I don't know, I'm quiet because I am relatively shy. I am relatively shy. The thing is, when I get around people I do know, you honestly can't shut me up. But
it was nice for Pastor Jay to give you a 4 minute a 4 minute time limit, and I'm sure those folks who are in there were kind of going, why is she saying thank you?
But
you know, 31 years.
31 years.
And
but no, it you know, but that's the thing. And it's been nice doing the podcasting because it's a little bit anonymous, so I'm not having to talk face to face with people I don't know. I can just share.
I don't know how you do that. That scares me. I mean, it does. I like to think that I'm there goes, I couldn't finish a sentence because it just
brain fog
right there. But I don't know how you do it. I actually admire you for doing that. Because it's something that is definitely needed, and I hope it blesses people, and I hope it edifies people, at least the 7 or 8.
Yeah.
That might, you know, knocking out our parents.
Right.
In case they show
exactly. Well, and but, it looks like it's starting to pick up a little bit that folks are starting, you know, with Jay announcing it in church, people are starting to listen more, and I hope they continue to, not for, again, not for anything for me or for me to go, oh, look how many people are, it's not that. It's the more people that are exposed to it, the more people that are exposed to the Word of God, to proper prayer through the Puritan prayers, through solid devotion, through Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and through proper scripture. And then a proper exposition of scripture for the evening portion of the podcast.
And a devotion is not enough.
Yeah.
I know a lot of folks think that if they just do a devotion, then they've just checked that mark and they're good to go.
Yeah.
It's important that when you're as far along in your faith as we are at this point, that we need to be meat eaters, and we need to teach people who maybe have not been in the faith as long as we have, to be able to help them get to that point where they're not on milk.
And they're actually on meat.
They're on meat, and it's well-rounded, and it's full. It's very filling, for lack of a better word. And well, I guess we do need to close it up because your dog.
Yeah, my dog's
the
being...
The dog who was supposed to be my dog.
Yeah.
That you stole.
The dog that I stole. Yeah, well, we're starting to get the, hey, you need to wrap it up from our lovable, murderous despot over here because she's ready to be fed.
Well, she's already glaring. I do think she intends to kill me at some point.
At some point. But anyways, we want to thank you for spending this time with us. We hope, again, we hope and pray that it has blessed you. And again, we hadn't really figured out how often we're going to do these. And we had thought about doing these as a separate podcast, but
this was enough.
One is enough. I don't want you to have to go hunt down and subscribe to something else. We're just going to do these as special episodes. And if you're not interested in the special episodes, fine. Click past it, mark it as listened to, and move on, you know, or whatever you want to do. If that's what you want to do. But we hope that this special time together will bless you as well.
And we hope to make it in the future, if I choose to jump in again, that we have something more of substance once folks get to know who we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and bring something helpful to the table. And that's what we look for in any podcast. Is it helpful?
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this special episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd. This is Tara Floyd. And we thank you for spending the time with us. Have a great evening. God bless.